Okay. So, let's lean into this. First, I want to start with Exodus 33:15 through to 34:7. I'm going to tell you four short stories today, and I'm going to try and keep them short. And you're going to be amazed at how it lines up with what you've already heard this morning. So in this story, Moses has been up. He's got the Ten Commandments carved into the stone tablets. And while he's getting them, the people of Israel have already broken them, these Ten Commandments. And so the tablets are smashed. So we join the story here where Moses is going up to get a second copy. Yeah? And he says to God, "Would you show me your glory?" And God explains, you can't quite handle seeing my face. It's going to be too much for you. But what I'll do is I'll hide you in this cave, and I'll cover you with my hand. And then once I've passed, you can see my back. Okay, that's what we can handle. But this is the one time when God speaks about who he is. What is his nature? This is worth paying attention to. Who is this God we follow anyway? Let's ask God. This is what he says. And he says, the Lord, compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. So he gives us five things that he says, this is what I'm like. Compassionate, gracious, slow to anger. Slow to anger, I love this. In the Hebrew, the way that you say slow to anger is you say someone is long of nostril. Yeah? Long of nostril, because in the Jewish tradition, if you're angry, your nose gets hot. We kind of have that, don't we? You get hot-headed if you're angry. Yeah, they have hot-nosed. And so if you're long of nostril, it takes a long time for your nose to heat up. That's what it is, slow to anger. And then loving, or sometimes you'll see that translated as merciful or loving kindness or various other things, and faithful. And today I want to dig into the fourth one, the loving kindness of God. Yeah, that's what I would like to dig into today. The love that is spoken of in this verse, the thing that God is talking about, is the Hebrew word hesed. And it doesn't have a great English translation. It's one of those words. Sometimes it gets translated as kindness. Sometimes mercy, loving kindness, steadfast love. We get all sorts of different translations because it's tricky. It's a tricky sort of word. It encompasses a lot of aspects. Generosity, love, enduring, loyal commitment. So when we see this word, this is what we're thinking of. It's usually found as a reciprocal kind of love within a relationship. Right? So we're supposed to have a relationship with God. This hesed love is what we're trying to understand in that relationship. So I want to look at three examples from the scriptures that will help us to understand hesed and what applications it has for our lives. But I don't want this to be a word study. Yeah, I can see teenagers around the room going, oh, good, another Adamson word study. I don't want it to be that. I really do feel like God is here. Do you clock that? The creator of the heavens and the earth is here in this place. How cool is that? To me, that just blows my mind. And he wants personal relationship with every single one of you. We're going to see verses where he says this, what he desires is hesed, relationship, loyal love. Don't leave today without experiencing that. I felt this week that there are a few groups, this is me going out of my comfort zone, there are a few groups that God particularly wants to work with today. Maybe you don't know who this God is. You've never met this God. You're here, which is a great first step, but you're going, who is this God anyway? Why should I have personal relationship with him? God wants to meet you this morning, to introduce himself. Will you be brave and come and meet God today? As you sit here through this message this morning, pray for that. God, would show me you're real. There are some people here, this broke my heart this morning, there's some people here, you've been hurt. You've been hurt by people that you should have been able to rely on and trust, and they've let you down. People that you've been in a committed relationship maybe, and you haven't had that chesed. God wants to heal that. God wants to show you his chesed today. Maybe you feel a bit stuck in your life. Maybe you did just come because it's Sunday morning and that's what we do. You're in a rut. Things are fine, ticking along, but meh. Do you know God doesn't want meh for you? He wants life and life in abundance. Yeah? Life in abundance. So let's get life in abundance this morning. And maybe there's a fourth group and you've been struggling with sin, and it's ongoing sin that you really struggle with, and you're going, can God still love me? You know, can God still take me in? He can, and he wants relationship with you. As Joel preached a couple of weeks ago, if you will turn back to God, he will love you freely. Yeah, we make that step this morning. So I just want to lay those groups out there this morning. I want you to lean in. Don't leave today without changing that situation. There is literally no better situation for you this morning, no better place for you to be than with God who is here. All right. So, chesed is an act of promise-keeping loyalty. Right? Loyalty. God is loyal. It's motivated by deep personal care, and it usually exists in relationships. So when we see this loving kindness, as we're going to see in a few verses, I want you to have this in your mind. Generosity, loyalty, kindness, commitment. Okay, so story number one, and if you'd like to go with me in the story, we're going to the book of Ruth. We're going to go to a few books that maybe we don't traditionally read today, but we're going to go to the book of Ruth, and I want to tell you the story. If it was my class now, I would bring out my storytelling seat, and I would sit down. All the teenagers know Mr. Adamson has a seat. The story of Ruth. So this is in the days when the judges ruled. This is a dark, difficult time in the history of Israel. Dun, dun, dun. And we meet Naomi and her husband and her two sons, and they've moved to Moab. Now, Moab and Israel, they're not friends, they're enemies. They haven't moved to Moab because it's a nice place for them to be. They've moved there because there's a famine in the land. And so they've moved to this country where they knew they would be oppressed. It wouldn't have been easy for them. And Naomi's husband dies. It's getting worse. Her two sons marry Moabite women, Orpah and Ruth. And for 10 years they live in this country of Moab. And then the two sons die. So Naomi is left with just her two daughters-in-law. She's in a tough place. She hears that the famine has ended in Israel, and so she decides, I'm going to go back home. But she knows that the life of an immigrant widow is tough. And so out of kindness, she says to her daughter-in-laws Orpah and Ruth, she says, you guys should return. Go home to your mothers. And she blesses them and she wishes them well. Yeah, she wants the best for them. She says, you guys stay here. I'm going to go back to Israel. But it's tough if you come back there. Go home. And Orpah goes, okay, thank you. And she goes home to mum. But Naomi says this. How brave is this? Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me ever so severely if anything but death separates you and me. That's loyalty. Yeah? I don't know what your relationship is with your mother-in-law, but to say that, that's loyalty. I've got to be careful. So she shows chesed to Naomi. She shows loyal love, loyal commitment, and she goes back to Israel. Okay, through the story. So when they get back there, they need food. And I know that you all know Deuteronomy 24, the commandment And the commandment, of course, is that once you've harvested your field, you should leave whatever is left for the immigrant and the widow. Of course. Of course. So Naomi, she knows of just such a field where they can go and gather, glean some grain. Belongs to a male relative of her family called Boaz. Boaz, we're told, is a man of noble character and good standing. And so Ruth goes and she gleans in the field and she meets Boaz. Boaz knows about her hesed loyalty to Naomi, and so he arranges so that it's easy for her to gather grain in his fields. He prays for Ruth, he blesses her, and he shows generous hesed back to her. Do you see the reciprocal? Yeah. Ruth goes back and tells Naomi that she's met Boaz. Naomi is ecstatic because she knows Boaz. Boaz is the family redeemer. So in Israeli culture, tradition, when a man dies, one of his male relatives will take care of the widow and her children. That's the tradition. And this Boaz is the person who should take on that role. And so she begins to hope, Naomi begins to hope there might be a future for her family. So cut the long story short. Boaz shows loyalty to Ruth and Naomi, and he marries Ruth, who he calls a woman of noble character, and they're happily married, and they have a child. And Naomi gets her joy restored to her. She's gone from immigrant, widowed woman coming out of famine to her family being restored through two acts of chesed. Through Ruth showing chesed to Naomi and Boaz showing chesed back in return. It's a lovely story. I can see a movie, a rom-com. Ruth and Boaz. Why is this book in the Bible? Do you know, interestingly, the narrator of this book never once mentions God doing anything. That's interesting. The characters, sure, they talk about God a few times even, but it doesn't attribute anything to God. But is God working in the background? Absolutely. Absolutely. He's all through it. He sees the chesed love of Ruth and he rewards that. He sets it up that they would have food. He sets it up that they will find their redeemer kinsman. And then he sees the loyal chesed love of Boaz, and he sets it up that he can be married and have children. God is at work. Even when we don't see it, he's working. Yeah? Come on. Even when we don't see it, he's working. There's a whole book. I think it's deliberate that it's nothing is directly attributed to God. We're just supposed to see it woven all the way through. What do we learn about Hesed from this? It's about loyal love based on relationships. It shows generosity, care, and kindness, even when it hasn't been earned, just simply because it's the right thing to do. And God loves it, and God blesses it. All right. Let's go to the other book of the Bible that I know you all have been reading, Hosea. I'll give you a moment to find it. Comes after Daniel. So we've had Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, the big, powerful, hard-hitting prophets. And we get to Hosea, who's called a minor prophet. I don't know how you can be a minor prophet and still be in the Bible. That's pretty cool. So Hosea, he's a man of the Lord. He's a prophet of God. And something weird happens at the start of this book. God tells him to go and to marry an adulterous woman. This is something Hosea should have nothing to do with. But God says, go and marry this adulterous woman, and she's going to cause you grief, and she's going to be unfaithful, and it's going to cause you heartache. Go and do it. Hosea's like, okay. Why? Because God wants to use this relationship to talk about his chesed for his bride, Israel, and how Israel has been unfaithful and have caused him heartache and grief. It's the ultimate in object lessons. So we see in Hosea chapter 4 that God lays out the charges against Israel. It says, "For the Lord has a case against the inhabitants of the land, because there is no faithfulness or kindness." I've highlighted in orange. No faithfulness, no love. What's the word? Hesed. Hesed. Right? So this translation has no faithfulness, no love. The NASB has no faithfulness, no kindness. It's no hesed. And there is no acknowledgement of God in the land. God is saying to Israel, I've been faithful and you haven't. Yeah, you presume, you take advantage of me. You don't acknowledge me. Think about relationships you have. What's one of the easiest ways we get hurt? When someone takes us for granted. Yeah? It's one of the best reasons to have Mother's Day and Father's Day. Because it reminds us, actually, don't take these people for granted. We should have that all the time. And God is saying here, you have been unfaithful and you have not acknowledged me. That's a harsh statement of where Israel's at. How often could we be accused of those charges? How often do we neglect to acknowledge God, to be generous in our love of Him, when He is always generous with His love for us? God then goes on and explains what Israel deserves. It's not pretty. It reminded me of Joel's preach when that word perish. Yeah, where we do not repent, it leads to perish. And Israel's response is to take advantage of God and His nature. If we look in chapter 6, we see Israel in full presumptive mode. Come, let us return to the Lord, for He has torn us, but He will heal us. He's wounded us, but He'll bandage us. He'll revive us after 2 days. He'll raise us up on the third day that we may live before Him. We see Israel in full presumptive mode. Have you ever done that? Have you blamed God when things have gone wrong? Have you just assumed that's God's problem to fix? And God responds, "What can I do with you, Judah? Your love is like the early morning mist, like the early dew that disappears." Ouch. How often do we love God when things are good? Or for just a short time while we get on with our lives? In Hosea 6:6, we get a famous verse. "For I delight in loyalty rather than sacrifice, and in the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings." Yeah? "For I delight in loyalty." Hesed. What is God's delight? Loyal love. Rather than sacrifice. We don't have to work at this. Oh, I stuffed it up. I've got to do this and this and this and this and this to get it right. No, there's so much hope in this. God is going, I'm here. I want relationship with you. What have you got to do? You've just got to return to me. I don't need sacrifice. I need loyal love. And what do I want? What do I desire? I desire acknowledgement, not burnt offerings. Won't you just tell me that you love me? Yeah. He wants worship. You can almost hear the cry in God's words. He wants us to love Him back. My mum would say He wants more than cupboard love. Yeah. God offers hope, always hope. In the last chapter of Hosea, He says this, "Return, O Israel, to the Lord your God. You have stumbled because of your iniquity. Take words with you and return to the Lord. Say to Him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously, that we may present the fruit of our lips. Yeah. I will heal their apostasy. I will love them freely." It's almost like Joel preaches 2 weeks ago. Return to the Lord. Ask for forgiveness. Turn back to Him. And He will love you freely. not because you've done anything amazing, not because you got the right ratio of attending church, simply because that's who he is. Lord, that is who you are. The Lord, gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, rich in chesed and faithfulness. He doesn't love us because we do great things. He loves us because that's who he is. He can't help it. He doesn't want to help it. That's who God is. He loves us. Are we going to sit and go, that's nice? No, come on, not today. Not today. What should we do? We should take our words. Take your words. Thank him. Praise him. Tell him you love him. Worship him. So what do we get from this story? God desires chesed. That was Hosea 6:6. And it's like Micah 6:8. We get it again. God desires chesed. His chesed is never ending and doesn't stop because we are unfaithful to him. That's the message of Hosea. If we will repent and return to him, he will love us freely. Come on, that's good. The God of the heavens and the earth, the creator of everything, wants to love you freely. If that's not good news, I don't know what is. Right, always finish with Jesus. In Luke 10:35, you probably know this parable. This is the parable of how to make a list of who you should love and who you don't need to. Otherwise known as the parable of the Good Samaritan. Yeah? So, I love this. Jesus is preaching, and he turns to his disciples and says, you guys are blessed because of the things you see. And in Luke 10:25, a lawyer stood up. Not a barrister or a solicitor. This is an expert in the law stood up and put him to the test, saying, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? You can just see it, can't you? The arrogance. What should I do to get eternal life? Jesus says, what's written in the law? How do you read it? And he answered, oh, that's easy. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. He just quotes back at him Deuteronomy. Because he's an expert in the law. He knows the right answer. What does Jesus say? You are correct. Do this and you will live. Now at that point, if I was that expert of the law, I'd have taken my gold star and I'd have sat down really quickly and quit while I was ahead. Oh no, this is a brave expert of the law. But wishing to justify himself, he said to Jesus, just who is my neighbor? You know, how can I make a list of people that I don't have to worry about? That's what was going through his spirit and his mind, wasn't it? How can I minimize the effort that I have to put in here? That was his response. And Jesus goes to tell the story of the Good Samaritan. I'm going to give you the very short version. So we have a man going from Jerusalem to Jericho. He gets beaten and robbed. He gets stripped, beaten, and left lying half dead beside the road. And a priest goes down the road, and when he saw him, he passed to the other side of the road. Oh, I've done that. I've walked down a dark alley and seen someone walking on the other side of the road, and I have crossed the road. I need to keep away from that problem. A Levite also came to the place and saw him and passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan. Now, when we see Samaritan, read traditional enemy. Right? This is not family whānau member. This is someone that maybe had a reason to cross to the other side of the road because traditionally there might have been a fight. But he was on a journey. He came upon him, and when he saw him, he felt compassion. What was the first thing God said about himself? Compassionate. What does compassion mean? Compassion means to be able to experience the emotion of another person. It's not just empathy. It's when someone is hurting, you feel that hurt. So the Samaritan felt compassion, and he picks him up, he bandages his wounds, he feeds him, puts him onto his own donkey, takes him to an inn, and takes care of him. He even pays the innkeeper and says, whatever more you need to spend, I'll cover it. This is not just, he doesn't just pick him up and give him a bandage, there, you're okay. You know, someone in the playground scrapes their knee, and you get room one teachers that go in for the hug, and you get Mr. Adamson that goes, you'll be okay. Here's a bandage. If only I had a lollipop. You know, no, he doesn't just do that. He doesn't just bandage him up. Picks him up, takes him to an inn. Says, take care of him, feed him, I'll cover it. It's all him. And Jesus says that this is what we should do. The one who showed mercy towards him. What's the word? Chesed. Yeah? Chesed. It's almost like this lines up. The one who showed chesed towards him, that's the Samaritan. Jesus said, go and do the same. And finally, the law expert went and sat down. Yeah? What's your list? Everyone. Everyone who is in need. Now, that's hard for us, but God does this all the time. He does this all the time. And I really feel like he wants to do some chesedding, if that's a word, today. So I'm going to give you a choice here. This is scary for me because I'm moving from teacher into something else. Worship team, can I have you back? Where are you at today? Did you come here today because it's Sunday and that's what we do? Did you come here to meet God, but maybe what I've just preached, that wasn't really what I was after? You know, it's not quite what I wanted. Did you come here today because you don't know God? And you, who is this God fellow anyway? Maybe you can't understand how God could love you so much that he would give his only son in your place just so that he might have relationship with you. The Bible tells us that, doesn't it? What does God desire? Relationship. Loyal, committed, loving relationship. It's what he desires today. It's what he wants. Have you been struggling with sin and you can't see how God could still love you? Like, I've gone too far. How can you still want relationship with me? God wants to tell you, he wants relationship with you. If you will return to him, he will love you freely. He won't hold it over your head. He won't keep reminding you of your sin. He will love you freely. Have you been hurt by someone that you should have been able to rely on? By someone that you're in a committed relationship to, a family relationship, and you've been let down? I think God wants to say to you this morning, don't hold on to that. Bring it to me. I will show you eternal, unfailing, loyal, committed love. Have you been saved for a while? You regularly come to church, but you're kind of going through the motions. You're in a bit of a rut. You don't know where the next step is. God has a plan for you for your life. It's written on the wall. A life, a hope, and a purpose. If you can't see that purpose, guess what? The very person you need to ask is here. Here, not here. Here. God is here. Why would you not take the opportunity this morning to engage with him? Why not? Why would you walk out the door and go, God, you bothered to turn up here this morning, and I'm going home. Come on. I'm going to challenge you. And this is something that would challenge me. I want you to actually make a physical movement today. We're praying this morning before the service. I feel like up here this morning, there is an anointing for healing. There is an anointing for forgiveness. There is an anointing for purpose. And I feel like God wants you to make a physical step. We've got an amazing ministry team here that are primed and ready to go this morning. And so I give you a choice. You can stay in your seat. You can go home. But God's here. Yeah? And coming up here doesn't mean, oh, I'm a broken, hopeless person. Coming up here means, actually, I know God's here and I want to take that chance. Yeah? I want to show God that it's worth 10 steps to get up the front. Yeah? We're not going to judge because I'm going to be up here. I'm hoping lots of people are up here. Ministry team's going to be up here. You might just want to come up here to worship. Maybe you want to bring your words today and say, God, I do love you. Thank you for showing me so much chesed, loyal love. I just want to come up here and tell you how much I love you. You might not need prayer. Still, come. If this place gets full, there's anointing in the aisles.
Yeah.
Yeah, but don't sit in your seat today. Do something. Stand, walk, worship, make some movement because God is here. I cannot emphasize that enough. Why would you just come and go home? Don't do it. We're going to sing one of the two songs that already did the message this morning. Doesn't matter. If we're making room, make all the room and know that God wants to fill it with good things and good purpose. If we're praying about that is who you are, God, proclaim it, Adam. We proclaim, God, that you are compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, rich in chesed, and faithful. Do you know when Moses prayed for God to forgive Israel when they broke the first two commandments? He didn't go to God and go, please, 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 we'll change. He went to God and said, do you know what, God? You just told us that you are loyal and faithful and gracious and compassionate. Show us. He reminded God of who he was. If you're interceding for someone else today, get up here and remind God who he is. And ask him to intercede and to move in people's lives. Okay to say that? You know what you got to do? You know what you got to do? If you want prayer, then when the ministry team's up here, just make yourself known. If you just want to worship, just worship. I'm going to be up here worshiping. Take whatever action you deem necessary.